Like Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and you can say he is risen indeed. Say that. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Will you stand and turn to hymn 274? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing this together as we begin our worship service. 272, excuse me. So would our offering takers come at this time? Dennis, would you lay this in our offering prayer?
Father, we just give you praise this morning for this glorious day, a day of celebration of your resurrection. And Father, we come before you in humble spirit with our offerings of praise to you. We just pray that we give back to you, this portion that we give back to you, will be used for your glory. Amen.
You can be seated.
Today we gather to celebrate the pinnacle on which is based the hope, the confidence, and the surety of all Christianity throughout the ages and throughout the earth, a living, resurrected Christ. His resurrection testifies to all heavenly beings, the forces of hell, and to mankind that his death, that his payment was enough. It satisfied God's wrath, his righteous judgment of sin once and for all. When looking to the cross, his grateful children can only bow in humility and pour contempt on all our pride. Because of his death and glorious resurrection, we can now triumphantly proclaim the words of a favorite Easter hymn.
Thank you.
If we have truly received God's gift of salvation, given through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we are forever changed. We are new creations, children of God, set free from the bondage of sin to live for the glory of God. In the remainder of our earthly life, we are to drink fully of the Lord, so that by reflecting his love and righteousness, we can bear witness of him to every tribe and every nation. As a result, his ransomed ones throughout the ages from all nations will enjoy together the marriage feast of the Lamb. There they will humbly bow and present their crowns to the Lord, to Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Goodness. If we can just go eat. But we won't. It's funny. I kind of knew because I sit in my office and listen to them practice what they were doing, and I do and don't and all of that. And when I was we've been studying through Matthew, and of course chapter 28 is when we study the resurrection. So that's where we are today. You can be turning there, but it's amazing how well what I'm going to say today just goes, dovetails in, and it happens. Those of you like Lovey and Wade and Butch and all that teach Sunday school, so often that happens.
What we study in Sunday school and come to church and study, I don't know. It's just God's in control of that. But Jesus, if you want to take notes or whatever, kids, Jesus, as we saw last week, was crucified, and Jesus died. He died. He was dead. And he was buried, and this tomb that he was put in was sealed, and not only that, it was guarded by Roman soldiers. And the next day after that was the Sabbath. Sometimes we think the Sabbath is Sunday, but it's not. The Sabbath is on Saturday, and that was the day of worship, that was the day of rest. That was the day for the followers of Jesus. I believe that Sabbath was a day of mourning because Jesus was dead. And it was a time of mourning. He was dead. He was buried. He was dead. There wasn't any, oh, he may not be dead thing. They knew he was dead because they had seen him die on the cross. And you did not get off of a Roman cross alive. They made sure of that. They came around, and if you were still alive, they killed you. You know, they broke your legs, or in Jesus' case, they jobbed him with a spear. They knew he was already dead, but they wanted to be sure. The law said that, so they stuffed him up in the stomach with a spear, and they said that blood and water and all of that came out. He was dead. So it was a great time of mourning. And many of us in our lives have had times of mourning, but let me just tell you that darkness endures just for the night. And if you are struggling because of sadness, because of the loss of someone, this is a great day for you. Because Sunday is here. We had the crucifixion on Saturday. We had the day of mourning the crucifixion on Saturday, a Friday, the day of mourning on Saturday, and today, Sunday, is here. In Matthew 28, verse 1, I'm going to read it a little different translation, but we'll refer to the King James as we're doing this, but I just think this is a really great way of saying this, so I decided to do it this way. It says, after the day of worship, that's Saturday, as the sun rose Sunday morning, Mary from Magdala and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And suddenly there was a powerful earthquake. Now look, there's an interesting tense form here, you'll notice. An angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and rolled the stone away and was sitting on it. And he was as bright as lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. And the guards were so deathly afraid of him that they shook. And the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He has been brought back to life as he said." Would you pray with me? Father, as we study your word today, and as we see the truth of your word, that Jesus didn't stay dead. Praise your holy name. He came back to life. And not only did he come back to life, he stayed alive, and he still is, and we can worship him today, a living Savior, and we can worship Him as we've seen, as the choir has sung about, for eternity. And those of us who know Him have begun that worship of eternity even today. And we praise Your name for that. And we pray that our world would see Jesus as alive and is being there to save them and walk with them and help them. We pray that today by His powerful name. Amen. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, the other Mary is not the mother of Jesus. It's the mother of James and Mark, Joseph and Mark. And it's a different Mary, the other Mary. But when they got there, they saw that some things had happened. It was not the tomb they thought they were going to come into. There had been, that's why I pointed out that tense form there, there had been an earthquake. Literally, that's what it says, had been. Now, and what that meant was that before they got there, there had been this sudden earthquake, and it was a thing that was caused by an event. There was a violent commotion that literally shook the earth, and it removed that stone that was in front of the grave, the tomb. And it was caused by this angel of the Lord who came down and rolled back that stone. And after he rolled back that stone with a great commotion, the earthquake, he sat down on it. I thought that was pretty neat. Now, by the time the women got there, we read about it in Luke. Luke says he wasn't sitting up on the stone. By then, he was standing there, and he was standing there. But after he rolled that stone away, it says here in Matthew, he sat upon it. And it says he was as bright as lightning. Now, the King James Version says his countenance. And it's funny, and I've seen this my entire ministry career, where people talk and they use this word countenance, as we often do in a modern usage. And the way we use countenance today, it has to do with the way your face looks. If I say, well, Tony, I see from your countenance that you're not very happy. That's what it means. He doesn't look very happy. Or if I say, you look happy, well, that's what that means. That's not biblical, though. In the Bible, countenance refers to the whole being. For example, in the Old Testament, it talks about Moses and his countenance glowing. It wasn't his face that was glowing, even though they had to put a veil over his face. That was the only exposed part of his body because, you know, they covered up pretty well everything good back then. They didn't wear shorts, so they covered up his face. But it's not in the Bible referring to your face only. Obviously, your face is part of your body. But in this case, it's talking about the whole being. This angel was, his whole being glowed with a light. And he was dressed in white. And it refers to his holiness. And he is a powerful being because he has come down and removed a stone that probably took a dozen men to budge and roll. I don't think he rolled it. I just think he picked it up and set it down over there. And he picked it up, and when he set it down, that's what caused the earthquake, you know. He is powerful. And this is evidence in the reaction to these Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers didn't get too frightened by things because they were the dudes. They were the ones that ruled the world. Everybody bowed down to Rome, and these Roman soldiers, they weren't people that were used to running. They didn't run. In fact, if you ran, you got killed. If you retreated without an order to retreat, you were in trouble. And that's what these guys did. They were terrified. Verse 4. And for fear of him, the keepers, the soldiers, did shake. And they became like dead men. You know what that means in modern English? They fainted. They got so scared. They got so shook up. They fainted. They fainted. They were literally kids shaking in their boots. But you can't blame them. You can't say, what a bunch of wusses. No, you can't say that because here they are. They're on guard duty. It's the middle of the night, and all of a sudden this angel appears that's glowing in the dark, picks up this gigantic stone like the Hulk or somebody and throws it over there and causes an earthquake. And then they look, and he's sitting up there on top of that stone glowing and grinning at them. I don't know about you, but I would be frightened, you know. And remember, this had happened earlier, because by the time the women got there, the soldiers had gotten over it and woke up and run off. You know, they didn't hang around, and I don't blame them for that either, you know. So then we have the first Easter sermon, and it comes from an angel. And that's important. You know, understand, angels' primary job are not to pick up stones and roll them away. Angels' job, the word means messenger. So his main job was not necessarily to pick up the stone and roll it away. To be honest with you, Jesus, when he came back from the dead, was capable of picking that thing up and moving it if he needed to. You know, that was not his primary job. He did it, but his primary job as an angel is to bring a message. So that's what he did. And here it is. Notice in verse 5, "And the angel said to the women, 'Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen.'" 3 points to his sermon. So we're getting to the sermon here. Y'all say, "Oh no, I thought we were almost through." No, we're getting to the sermon. Here it is. 3 points. Number one, write it down, kids. He is not here. You came over here and you're looking for Jesus. He isn't here. He's not here. He's not in the tomb anymore. You're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. And that's important. You go to the Holy Land, there's some controversy sometimes about where the tomb really was. You know, there's actually two places they think it might have been. But it doesn't matter because he isn't there anymore. You know. And we don't need to go over there and worship. It's a point of historical interest, I guess, to go and look. But to be honest with you, he isn't there. Still not there. So the first point, he is not here. The second point is, he has risen. And literally that means he left the grave. He's gone. He's not here. He's gone. The reason he isn't here is because he has left. And then to make sure that there's no doubt about what's going on here, we have the third point. And the third point is, he has been brought back to life. Nobody stole him. You know, they started a rumor that Jesus' disciples had come and stolen him and da-da-da-da-da. That isn't what happened. And the angel made sure we all understood that. He wasn't there. He's left because he came back to life. Very, very important distinction. Folks, Jesus was dead, Jesus was buried, but Jesus was brought back to life. Jesus is alive. What a wonderful Savior we have. You know, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. People say, "Oh, he's dead," or "he's not relevant." But I know that he's living whatever men may say. How do I know this? Because I see his hand of mercy, and I have heard and hear his voice of cheer. And folks, every time I have ever needed him, he has always been near. Be a good song, wouldn't it? We're going to sing it in a minute, you know. Listen to me. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And we need to remember that. That is the message of Easter, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And not only did he rise from the dead, because other people had come back to life from the dead. Lazarus had come back to life from the dead. Other people throughout biblical history had come back from the dead, but they died later. Jesus didn't. He's still alive. He's still alive. He lives. So my question today to you is, do you know him as a living Savior? You know, many people will agree Jesus was a great man. Many people might even say, "Well, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead." But you know what? If you believe that, and you have not made a decision to include him in your life, and you have not called upon him to save you, if you have not been willing to turn from your sins, Jesus came and he died and he went through all of this because we are sinners. Everyone in here have sinned, and Jesus died on that cross, as we saw last week. He died because of your sins. And that's why he did it. And just to simply say, oh, Jesus died and he actually rose from the dead, and great. And not act upon that belief. My friend, that's scary for you. Because even though he's alive, if you haven't come to him and turned from your sins to him and called upon him in belief and asked him to save you, it will do you no good. So my invitation today is, if you are here and you need Jesus and you need to walk with him, you need to come to him today. He's alive. He's alive. And Christians, you know, we have instructions too. It's important that we understand that. The angel came and he said, you know, Jesus isn't here. He's left the tomb and he is alive. And he went on to say this. He said, he is going to meet you later. Christians, disciples. You know, we don't hear about the women being disciples, but they were, because they were followers of Jesus. They weren't the 12. Jesus didn't call them to be the 12, but it doesn't matter whether they were one of the 12 or not. If they believed in Jesus, they're Christian. None of us were one of the 12 either, were we? And these women were followers of Jesus. And he had instructions for them through this angel to go and tell the disciples. It's interesting. First message was from the angel to the women who went and told the disciples the message. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So he says, go quickly, tell his disciples that he has been brought back to life and that he is going ahead of them to Galilee, and there they are going to see him. And they did. Many of the disciples saw him. And then, before he went back to heaven, he gave them instructions and gave us instructions. Here it is. When Jesus came near, he spoke to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So wherever you go, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have commanded you. And remember that I'm always going to be with you until the end of time. So that's our job, go and tell. So we got two messages this Easter. One is to accept Jesus and the fact that he's alive and that he died on the cross and that he wants you to come to him. And I invite you today, if you don't know Jesus, to come during our time of invitation in a few minutes. But Christians, we have an invitation, and not an invitation. Jesus gave us orders. Go. Go. Go and make disciples. Go and tell people about me. Baptize them. Disciple them. Teach them. Go. So I have an invitation, if you don't know Jesus, to come to him, and I have an invitation, if you do know Jesus, to go. That's the Easter message. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this point of invitation, I do pray that if there may be someone here that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would say, I believe Jesus is alive. And I know I'm a sinner, and I want to turn from my sins, and I want to turn to the living Savior. I want Jesus as my Savior. And I pray that they would come during this time of invitation and pray
and ask Jesus to save them. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are Christian that you would renew the calling that we all have to go. You rose from the dead and you gave us instructions. We turn this time of invitation over to you for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name. Keep your heads.